Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Extra special attention to you, brother, because my voice is very low. You're used to me talking with so much passion, so much drive, authority, and determination. I'm going to still have that passion, drive, authority, and determination. It's just going to be a more mild way of speaking to you all. For those of you who are new listeners to the show, I invite you to go back and listen to the previous shows, and you'll see what I'm talking about. For those of you who are, years into this show, I really appreciate you all for sticking with the show, because this is the most powerful show for truth anywhere bar none. Now, with that said, the reason I titled the show, "This is the Folding Up, and You Ain't Seen Nothing Yet," is because the entire world, listen to me good, I'm gonna say this, this is the entire world of the white man, regardless of what you may want it to be, the white man. We have to use the specifics of this. We can say the entire world of mankind, but let's be specific about this, because it does not benefit nor does it help us for beating around the bush. This is what has kept us from progressing and advancing and uniting, because we like to beat around the bush when we can just go straight to the point and tell the truth. The entire world of the white man is collapsing. It is folding up under the stress of divine chastisement. We're not just going to talk scripture here. For those of you who are new to the show, we prove what we say. We play the clips from these so-called investors, these so-called scholars and scientists of the white man's world. And we read scripture and we tell you, we connect the dots of what you see going on politically and geopolitically. Okay? So these are not just going to be a religious soiree of words. This will be truth, and truth that like you never heard before if you are a new listener to the show. Okay? So again, I ask you to forgive me for speaking in such a way, but you're going to have to listen closely to me, because I am, believe me, I am laboring to get this out. And so from time to time, all of you may hear me pause, that is to either to suck on a lemon or to drink water or to rehydrate with a little zero Gatorade or whatever. I have to rehydrate or whatever. So I'm telling you right now, forgive me in advance. Let's go to something. This is Fall of America, because I want to explain something to all of you through this book. And we're going to continue on our subject, "This is the Folding Up, and You Ain't Seen Nothing Yet." In chapter 38 of Fall of America, it's specifically put in a book called The Fall of America by Elijah Muhammad. And under here, Reader's Digest says, the most powerful black man in America. He didn't say the second most powerful, the third most powerful. It didn't say Malcolm was the most powerful. It didn't say Drew Ali. And I'm not downing Drew Ali. I'm just putting these things out here specifically. In this book titled The Fall of America and reviewed by Reader's Digest, a so-called reputable and respected magazine here in America, it says, by Elijah Muhammad, the most powerful black man in America. So they acknowledge that his power is unquestionable, right? So we're going to look into what made his power so unquestionable and what gave him this power, because he was able to forewarn and foretell of things which we now see, which if he was the most powerful man back then and a lot of the things that he was saying were yet to come, how much more powerful is he today when we're looking at the unfolding of events, exactly how he introduced them to us and how he told them to us? This is something that you must put on a scale of facts and weight. We got to be deliberate in our thoughts, and we got to start using that gray matter upstairs and start deducing things. Forget how this white man lays out court TV and the Kardashians and sports. Our lives are at stake right here, right now. And we must shatter all of these myths about black people being lazy and don't want to read, okay? In this chapter, chapter 38, it is titled The Fall of America Foretold, right? Separation is the This is what it says, right? Now, let me give you something here. Foretold. I'm typing, so please bear with me. The word foretold means, according to Google Dictionary, past and past participle of foretell, right? And according to the dictionary, foretold or foretell means to tell of beforehand, to predict, prophecy, or to prophesy. All right? That's what the word foretold tells us, okay? Y'all bear with you, brother. So, in this chapter 38, in the title, The Fall of America Foretold, Separation is the answer. He writes, and he opens up this chapter with a quote, right? He opens it up with a quote, which is something that you need to look into. This quote comes directly from the Holy Quran. And it's chapter 81, verses 6, 7, and 12. And it reads like this, okay? And when the cities are set on fire, and when men are united, and when the hell is kindled. So, this is specifically put there right after the title. It's not put in the body of the chapter. It's put right up under the title. This was there for a reason. I'm breaking this stuff down to you because I'm going to play some clips shortly, okay? And I want you to have a thorough understanding of where we at and how we get to this point, okay? So you all bear with me. If I can labor with this voice collapsing right in front of you, my voice is collapsing, then you could be a studious listener, okay? All right, let's go forward. And when the cities are set on fire, and when men are united, and when the hell is kindled, he gives us a pre-warning of what he's about to talk about. So these are signs to expect and to see during what he says he takes this from. A chapter in the Holy Quran called The Folding Up. Okay? Okay? So, he says, in the body of this chapter, he writes, The Folding Up is the title, taken from the first verse of that chapter, in which the above verses are found. Listen to this. When the sun is folded up, symbolically prophesies the folding up of a recorded work. I'm going to say this again. When the sun is folded up, Holy Quran, chapter 81, verse 1, symbolically prophesies the folding up of a recorded work, a record of what people have done, as its use will no longer be necessary. This chapter refers to what takes place in the resurrection. Well, what takes place in the resurrection, Elijah Muhammad? And how will we know that we're in the folding up of a recorded work that was by a people who was given a certain amount of time to do a specific work? He tells us, because he puts it above the body, he says, and when the cities are set afire, look around the world and see what's going on, okay? The wildfires, the revolution, the rebellion, that's fire. You understand? The people are angry, all right? And when men are united, united for what? For a certain cause to rebel, to overthrow, to rise up, to change the status of things. And when the hell is kindled, what hell, right? It becomes hell for this white man when all that he has dominated in, he loses out in. It becomes hell for the people who have benefited under this oppressive when they can no longer benefit as they once did, and when they can no longer continue their grip of rulership over those whom they have exploited. So you see, the hell is being kindled between black and white. White and black. The haves and the have-nots. There is a movement for change now. Even those who have benefited under the system are moving towards change. They want something new because the system no longer suffices them. Is that not right? I want you all to bear with your brother, okay? Have patience with me. Let me take a sip of this Zero Gatorade. Oh, man, I tell you. Throat is on fire. Anyway, so he says, the folding up is the title, taken from the first verse of that chapter in which the above verses are found. When the sun is folded up, Holy Quran, chapter 81, verse 1, symbolically prophesies the folding up of a recorded work. Now, we must understand what recorded work. Let's go to Genesis, and I'm not going to quote verbatim, but let's go to Genesis. God gives Adam, he says, Adam, he's talking about the Adamic people. Right? The Adamic people. 6 days shalt thou labor, but on the seventh day shalt thou be made to rest from thy labor. Right? So God gives them a specific calendar, timetable, to do a certain work. And then he calls them to account and says, but in 7 days thou shalt be made to rest from all of thy works. That according to theology and scripture, right, that 6 days in theology represents 6,000-year rule. But on the seventh day, or the 7,000-year, thou shalt be made to rest from all of thy labor. If we do a calculation of time, this is not religion, this is theology. If we do a calculation of the time, we are now entering into that 7 day that the scriptures talked about in Genesis. And now we see that a recorded work of a people who were to do a specific job for 6 days or 6,000 years is now folding up under divine stress and pressure and the corruption from their own self, right? Is that not right? You got to talk back to your brother now, because what we're dealing with are facts. We're not dealing with guessing, gestures, or instability. We're talking about facts and truth and things that can be pointed to and proven. So for 6,000 years, we have to be very, very truthful and factual about this thing. For 6,000 years, there has been no man on earth that has dominated the planet like this white man. And he has brought everything, as the book tells you that he would do, under his subjection. The fish of the sea, the fowl of the air, and every creeping thing that crawleth upon the deep, or his belly, or on the land, or wherever. He has brought the birds into subjection to him. He now has drones to mimic birds. He now has little computers or robots to mimic insects. He now uses dolphins and sharks in warfare. If that's not subjection, I don't know what it is, right? He has dominated the landscape of man and mankind, bringing the original man to his knees, right? Nearly slaughtering him from around the planet. We're dealing with facts now, okay? I'm laying a base for those of you who are not familiar with the show. I have to lay a base. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad teaches us that if we are to clean up a house, we got to make sure that it's very clean before we invite anyone else in. So what I'm doing, I'm sweeping the floors. Because the floor, that's the base of the house, before I invite you into the house. I'm going to make sure that it's clean. We're going to go into the clips. You just give me a little time. Also, excuse me, from time to time you will hear me, I have sliced lemons. Believe it or not, I love sliced lemons. Most people don't. I love to eat lemons, just peel them and eat them. But I have to have them for my throat, okay? So you might hear me stop and suck on a slice of lemon from time to time. But listen, a recorded work of 6 days, we know for a fact, because we can point to it in the Bible, that Adam had a work to do that was to be recorded for 6 days or 6,000 years. But on that seventh day, he would be made to rest from all of the labor and toil that he put on the planet, right? So this is why the title has this in the beginning. This is the folding up. Because if you look around the world, every center of power and leverage and influence that the white man has used to dominate and to maintain his rule over the entire spectrum of man and the globe as it is now in chaos and trouble. This did not happen by chance. This is what I'm trying to point to you. This is why I lay this stuff out the way I do. Because there must be a connecting of the dots for you to understand these world events, these geopolitical events, these political events, and everything that is unfolding to you. You've got to understand these things. So he says, when the sun is folded up, Holy Quran 81:1, symbolically prophesies the folding up of a recorded work, a record of what people have done, as its use will no longer be necessary. Remember, the Bible tells you that these people will be judged from their own books. That means that their work was recorded. Is that not right? By wise scientists who saw into the future and had written down every movement that they would make. Okay? It goes further and says, this chapter refers to what takes place in the resurrection. What takes place in the resurrection, you say? The fall of America. Why? Because it was prophesied and foretold. And what happens in the fall of America? A forced separation takes place. I was telling you this for the years. Some of you wanted to force, you wanted to do it your way. But God got to do these things because you wouldn't listen to the Lamb of God. So God has to strike out the master and the slave, right? I'm going to read something on that line in just a second since it just came to me. Okay? It says, this chapter refers to what takes place in the resurrection. Okay? So, separation, an act or instance of separating or the state of being separated. A place, line, or point of parking. A gap, hole, rent, or the like. Something that separates or divides. Well, we knew that the black man of America, the black woman of America, is still, we know this, that they're still in love with their former slave master. We know this because you don't want to separate. You always believe that you are a part of America until the American establishment shows you otherwise when they go and gun down your children, deprive you of your so-called rights, and mock you before the world on TV, and then say, we're all Americans, when they want you to go to war for them, right? You have been totally sold in the way of master. And you can't see anything or fathom anything better than master. So you would not willingly separate from him. So God strikes out at the slave master and the slaves, bringing his recorded work to an end, forcing you, the prodigal sons and daughters of God, to look elsewhere. So if the white man no longer can provide for you economically, if he can't provide for you in any way, shape, form, or fashion, and he's so busy trying to provide for himself, you got to start looking towards self. And when you start looking towards self, you're going to start loving self. And when you start loving self, you're going to unite with self, because you cannot unite with yourself unless you love self. And we have a great disdain for each other. So God removes all of those obstacles which prevents us from looking at each other and loving each other. Because right now, right here today, you can look at your brother, I can't stand that nigger. And then as soon as somebody says something about the white person, you'll jump in and intervene and say, we're not all white people. Not all white people. And you'll hold a grudge against your brother or your sister for years over something petty. So what God is going to do, he's going to show you your pettiness and ram it back in your face and humble you. And when this thing explodes the way it's going to explode, it's going to look like the black man and woman of America awoke overnight and started loving and uniting with each other. And they're going to look for something better than what the slave master has given them and offered them here in America. This is part of the folding up. But these things must take place economically and politically and geopolitically to force you towards self. It's right here. Okay? You read these books, but you never got this out of there, because it wasn't meant for you to get it until this time. You understand? Okay? Now tell me I'm lying. Tell me what I'm saying is made of. Tell me I'm embellishing this stuff. Tell me that. You know what I'm saying is true. But you Negroes are too stubborn and hard-hearted and so hateful toward each other that you refuse to work toward each other to do something for each other. But this is why this thing is folding up. It will force you to do this. That's why the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said, it literally took something that was more effective than the word. It took the winds of war. That's what he's talking about right now. The collapsing economic system. The collapsing social architecture in America. The collapsing of the government of America. The entire empire around the world. And the position of your slave master. It's going to force you towards looking towards your brother and forgiving him and her. Looking towards your sister and forgiving her. And loving them the way you should love. When you look at them, instead of you talking, oh, I'm just as good as that nigga, you should look at that person and say, every time I'm looking at a black man and woman, I'm looking at God. But we fickle. Let's go a little further. It says, one party is recorded as a, listen to this part right here. One party is recorded as a beginning while the other party is discontinued. We see this clearly being manifested today. What day, Elijah Muhammad? The day of the resurrection. The day I've been telling you that the resurrection and the separation are interchangeable. They're one and the same. They're one and the same. I've been telling you this for the longest. Let's go further. One party is recorded as a beginning, while the other party is discontinued. We see this clearly being made manifest today. War causes the destruction of civilizations. War destroys the cities and towns of a nation. This chapter 81 of the Holy Quran is now being fulfilled. Now, stop right there. What's going on in America? Is there not the rumblings of war and civil insurrection and civil war? Is that not... Are the white people are not openly talking about this and threatening war if their man in office is not reelected? Are they not? You can Google this stuff. Go to YouTube. Pundits alike are saying these things. And then they're talking about waging more war in the Middle East, waging more war in Africa, the buildup of troops there, waging more war in the South China Sea, waging more war in the Caribbean and in South and Central America. Didn't Trump just deploy more warships to the Caribbean area and to right off the coast of Venezuela? If that's not a provocative act of war, then you can't be what it is. Did he not just triple troops in Africa? While all of this mess is going on about the coronavirus, this is the rattling of the war. Because they are desperate to maintain empire. You understand? There's trouble going. So God is striking out after them. While I'm talking to you, let me find something real quick. Okay? You guys there with me. I think it's in Fall of America, if I'm not mistaken. I have my books around here. So you brothers and sisters, give me 1 second. All right? Oh, man, that's a beautiful chapter right there. So, the dreadful times of America, that is so, this is so timely, brothers and sisters, the dreadful, this chapter here, but that's not the chapter I'm looking for. I think what I'm looking for, oh, here we are. It is in Fall of America. Holy Quran, chapter 13, verse 41. See they not that we are visiting the land, curtailing it of its size, and Allah pronounces a doom, and there is no repeller of his decree, and he is swift into calling to account. Black man in America, there is no one as blind as you are in seeing what is going on against America. I have warned you for nearly 40 years that Allah and the person of Master Farad Muhammad, to whom praises are due forever, came to me and gave me the knowledge of the truth, and I have been preaching it to you continually. Now, you see what is going on. As America has done, so now it is being done unto her. You see this? Listen closely. She has blown their cities to pieces. Look, America has surrounded the countries of other people. She has blown their cities to pieces, and she has killed their inhabitants. Those who were left alive, she put to flight, running for shelter from the destruction by America's might. It is very sad and horrible to look at the things that America had done, which are now coming on this country. Stop right there. So, she has deployed ships around the world as a threat, right? And we say, now things are coming back because now she's no longer able to deploy them in such volume because of the money. Though she's deploying them, she can't deploy them at volume like she normally could, right? And other nations are deploying their naval assets. And she deploys warplanes, other nations deploy their warplanes now. This is no longer a one-sided affair, right? And at one time she enjoyed the unbridled and unrivaled power and prestige that the United States or the U.S. dollar had. This is no longer the case because nations are selling treasury bonds. America is in such a desperate situation that her treasury secretary comes out a few days ago and said, we're thinking about issuing something, what they call coronavirus bonds or something like that, because they need funding. They say, this is a war. We need to do like World War II. See, they see what's going on. They understand it, and they're not getting foreign sponsors like they once was. So now they're looking at the domestic market to hold you footing another bill that would be worthless bonds. Because a few days ago, a few weeks ago, there was over $100 billion in U.S. debt that was sold off that you never knew anything about. The official number is $100 billion, but one of my sources told me that the numbers was closely up to $750 billion that were sold off, and then the Fed had to purchase them quietly. This is what was told to me, okay? Because they were scared that in this environment with what is going on all around the world and this corona thing that is breaking out, that if the true number would have gotten out, there would have been a stampede out of the dollar, hurtling the fall of America because they could not deal with it because they're just buying up stocks, they're buying up assets, they're buying. The Fed now is the buyer and lender, the owner and executor of all debt today in America, right? This puts America in a very precarious situation, right? The crack man is now smoking his own crack. He's telling you that he's all right. You used to see him wearing the fine tailored suits, right? Looking spiffy, driving a big, beautiful car. But now when you look at the crack man, the Fed, and the U.S. government, the teeth are missing. The lips are dry. The suits are tight. And he's walking to the bus stop. But he's telling you that, oh, I just did it once or twice. And then he has a hustle game for you. Listen, I'm going to sell some government bonds, but it's going to be a domestic government bond. Everything's going all right for me internationally. I can sell it to my international partners, but I'm going to sell it to you at a lower price, a discount. That sounds like the crack man, a man who is hustling to get him another high. Is that not right? Huh? Y'all know I'm telling you the truth. You know, because I'm telling you, everyone who's listened to this show has dealt with somebody on drugs. And you know how they hustle. You know how they lie. You know how they scheme and con to try to get to the next fix. Right? become his number one client. Is that not right? So they're struggling to maintain empire. They're struggling to try to keep this Ponzi scheme afloat. They're struggling to try to turn off all the fans and insulate themselves from any soft or hard wind that is blowing that threatens to blow down the house of cards. It's a very beautiful time to be a follower of the most honorable Elijah Muhammad, because we're living in the folding up. We're living in the separation. We're living in the resurrection. We're in a new world, and they understand this. And in this new world order, not the one that they're trying to present to us, but the new world that is now merging in on the old world, the world of the black man, they have no power, no influence, no say. And this is something that they cannot take. That's why you see them arming themselves to the T, under the ground, on the ground, in the water, under the water, in the sky, and in space. Because they don't want to leave nothing to chance. They want to fight to the end to try to maintain their position and power. All of this is connected. And they understand that time is of the essence. And they also understand that their economy and their world monetary system is on borrowed time. And they're struggling to keep it afloat. Let's go to a clip real quick, and we'll come back after that clip. Remember, I'm going to the clip to let you hear something that's going on economically. We'll come back. We're connected to what we're saying about the folding up and how bad things are going to get. And while that is going on, I'll suck on me a piece of lemon and try to keep my voice going, because we're in the groove and we want to keep this thing going, because I want you to understand what exactly is in store for the so-called world's only superpower. Okay? Pay close attention. Here we go.
For more, we want to bring in Peter Schiff, CEO of Euro-Pacific Capital. Now, Peter, I want to start by asking you, are we starting to see a turning point, as Christy pointed out, in the market as we get better data out of the coronavirus deaths? Now, has all the news now been priced, and do we have a bottom now?
Well, I tend to doubt it. You know, too many people are focused on the pin and ignoring the bubble that the pin pricked. You know, before the COVID-19 shutdown, the U.S. economy was long overdue for a severe recession, and the U.S. stock market was long overdue for a bear market. So I think the COVID virus simply accelerated the onset of both. And so all that's going to happen is that we're going to return to a recession and a bear market. So I would not get excited about this rally. I think we still have a long way to go on the downside. And the economy, I think, is going to be even worse.
Well, Christy, your thoughts. Some people even comparing this not only now to the 2008 recession, but to the Great Depression that we haven't seen in our lifetimes. Christy, your thoughts.
Yes, I agree with Peter on that, that this is not the end now. This is not the real bounce, and we still have a long way to fall, because as we previously stated, the earnings have a long way to fall. We still have massive unemployment tail from this entire coronavirus epidemic, and we're nowhere near the bottom. Right now, the S&P just merely reached the previous resistance level of 2,600. So right now, it's been proven that we bounce back from 2,600 as it tries to attempt to regain support level at 24 and establish a long-term bottom.
This really has been a roller coaster in the past couple of weeks. One day it's down, the next it's up. I mean, and I'm sure there's more to come, as you both have said. Now, Peter, on Friday, the PPP program that President Trump signed into law, it was gradually rolled out. What has been the response to this matter?
Well, I mean, as you would expect, a lot of people are trying to line up for whatever free money the government is handing out. But of course, it's not free. There is going to be a heavy price to be paid in terms of the loss of purchasing power of the U.S. dollar as prices respond to all the new money being created by going up. Plus, of course, these programs are doing far more harm than good. I mean, I don't even think they're doing any good. But what they are doing is they are exacerbating the downturn, and they are going to push the recovery off even further into the future, because the government is basically encouraging businesses that should be downsizing and kind of adjusting their cost structure to the new reality. Instead, the government is encouraging them to hold on to employees that they would be better off letting go and freeing up to do something else. Instead, they're going to keep some employees entrenched in companies that are probably going to end up failing because they refuse to lay off people. And so instead, they're going to have to lay off even more people later. And I think a lot of these loans are never going to be repaid because even the people that don't fire their workers, a lot of these businesses are going to go out of business because they didn't fire their workers, and then everybody's going to be out of a job, and the government's not going to get any money back because the loans have no security and there's no personal guarantee.
Well, and that's been a big issue here also, the repayment of these loans and whether or not these companies, like you said, will actually be able to pay that for them, especially with the rehiring of these employees without letting them go. Christy, I want to ask you, Fed's Bullard has said that this basically jobs will come back and that the markets will come back as well as soon as the coronavirus ends. There's no timeline set to that. Will these jobs even come back?
Well, it is likely that the jobs will eventually come back, but as we said previously, we don't expect this V-shaped recovery as so many analysts are so optimistic about, simply because there is such a long tail with the coronavirus, and we have to back and forth between a very heavy supply shock, which we've seen in China already, and then we couple that with a demand shock right now from lack of consumption. If people don't have jobs, they don't have personal income, that they don't have disposable income to then spend on consumption and services, et cetera. So it becomes a very strong back and forth with balancing between the two, and so that makes the tail of the entire coronavirus episode very, very long and lasting.
Long lasting indeed, as you said earlier, that China could be seeing a repeat of a second cycle, which is something that Dr. Fauci has said time and time again and warned the United States and the world of. But Peter, I want to talk about gold. It's up over 3% today, while equities are soaring. Now, usually interesting because investors are either risk on or risk off. But today looks like to be a risk on type of day. Investors are buying equities and they're offering up some bonds. But why is gold still up?
Well, I think the risk is inflation. The only thing that's propping up the stock market is the Fed and other central banks printing money, which is creating inflation. So you don't have earnings going for the stock market. All you have is all the cheap money that's being created. And inflation is much better for gold than it is for the stock market. And so that's why both stocks and gold are going up. But I think eventually gold is going to be going up much more than the stock market. And I think gold is going to be going up even as the stock market rolls over and goes down. So I think in terms of gold, stock prices are going to continue to fall. In fact, they're going to fall precipitously regardless of what happens to nominal stock prices because of the massive inflation being unleashed by the Fed and other central banks.
Well, Christy, we have about a minute left, but I do want to get this last question.
So he talks about how the system is bad and how the central banks around the world are exporting inflation. I've told you this on almost every show. This is how they influence the politics of independent nations. They export inflation. When Mubarak was overthrown, remember, an ally of the U.S., you know, he was looking for a drop in prices in wheat and all this stuff that he was importing from the U.S. and around the world. Well, America, them, because he would not do a certain couple things that America wanted, so what they did, they exported the inflation there where it made it hard for the purchasing power of the, Egyptian dinar, I believe it is, people could not even afford bread. And so there were rioting in the streets. There was an uprising in the street to overthrow him, even though he was helped put into power by the U.S. When they get through with you, that's what they do. They tried to do it with the Venezuelan economy. But the Venezuelan people, one thing about Hugo Chavez, may he rest in peace, the thing he did, he empowered his people. He forced the Venezuelan people to get a thorough education of not only the constitution of their land, but he forced them to get a geopolitical lesson and to look at things deeper. So when they killed Hugo Chavez, because that's what happened, when they killed Hugo Chavez, his successor, Maduro, had a well-educated, I think the education is free in Venezuela and healthcare is free, and Maduro has built over 100,000 homes since he's been in office for poor people. Over 100,000. Can Obama say that? Can Trump say that? Over 100,000. And so I'm talking about homes given away to the people who are less fortunate. And so the people, the masses of the people, understand where their bread is buttered. So they didn't go for the fake pump from America when they tried to overthrow him. You understand? But other nations, they tried it with Syria's Assad, but that didn't go well. They're trying it with other nations. They export inflation to mess with your internal composition, your internal politics, so that they can get a hand on you or your nation or whatever. This is what they do. You heard Peter Schiff talk about. That's all that they're doing. They're propping up the stock market. They're buying all the debt. They're exporting inflation. Let us see what inflation means. Because in my position as a steward of wisdom to the people, I demand that you don't sit here like rocks. I demand that you put those brain cells into action to think, right? To ponder over things, to weigh things. This is why I'm always giving you definitions of what is being said by these people. So let's go to the dictionary, dictionary.com, because that's the first one popped up. And we'll go to the word inflation. It's a noun. And it says economics. Listen to this good. Economics, a persistent, substantial rise in the general level of prices related to an increase in the volume of money and resulting in the loss of value of currency. Stop right there. So, you tell me whether or not America is not suffering inflation. Go to the stores right now. And honestly tell me that America is not suffering from inflation when you have to pay two and three times what you paid for something 5 years ago, 7 years ago, 10 years ago. If you were paying, if you used to get a candy bar for 25 cents 10 years ago and you're paying a dollar for it, that is 400% inflation. But you don't look at it like that. That means the purchasing power of the currency of the nation has been eroded. That means that we're in an economic whirlwind. You understand? And they try to, this white man, he's the master of deception. Remember on the last show I told you about sleight of hand, the magician's trick, the sleight of hand, and how they'll try to distract you with something while they're actually starting to put over on you their trick. You're so busy looking at this over here when he's actually doing something over there, right? This is what America has done. You go on any television and you look at the commercials and they'll try to tell you, like, Tide Pods or whatever, you know, you drop in the washer, the little thing. It's seven times more powerful than detergent. And they want to sell you this in a small jar for $12, $15. Right? And they want you to believe that that is more powerful than the giant detergent bottles that you used to get for a fraction of that price. And you believe it. You go right along with it. Right? They try to tell you that less is more. Don't believe your wallets. Your wallets are lying to you. We're not in inflation. We're not having inflation. Believe me, because I've never lied to you. I'm your master. Have I ever done you wrong? Brothers and sisters, you've got to be more aware of this stuff, okay? Because they're trying to put one over on you, all right? So, with that being said, if everything is going right, and if white America, because remember, what's going on, you see a more blatant, in-your-face racism now that Trump is in office. It's not just in the streets. It's in schools. It's in institutions. It's everywhere because their man is in office, and they want to brag because they're tired of looking at a black face, Obama, even though Obama was one of their greatest instruments of white empowerment, even though he did more to harm the interests of black people in America than his predecessors. They just cannot take looking at a black man in that position. Even though he was a puppet, okay? Man, some of you black people get mad when I tell you the truth, but I tell you to prove what I'm saying is wrong, okay? I don't care nothing about your feelings getting hurt. I do. I love you. But when it comes to truth, I don't care if your feelings get hurt. I just have to tell the truth, okay? Now that their man is in office and racism has become more pervasive in your face, you know, you see them punching women in the face, black women in the face in restaurants, calling your nigga this and doing this and doing all out there. Police killing your own video. Or he shouldn't have been resisted. The man handcuffed. Well, he should have stopped as soon as the officer. We're always siding with the officers. Right? This was Obama saying that too. Now, we see this pervasive in society. If everything is going right for them, why is that? Why are they doing it? And if they can see a beautiful future for themselves, then why has firearm sales gone through the roof? Huh? I want you to listen to this little clip here. I haven't even heard this clip, so I'm going to be listening for the first time with you, okay? But it's a short clip, and I want to hear what it has to say, what they have to say about the situation at hand, okay? It says, the new Great Depression looming. This is the title now. I copied the title verbatim. New Great Depression looming, Americans buy up firearms, okay? Great Depression looming. I thought they said we were close to a recession. A recession and a depression are two different scenarios, two different things. Okay? But let's go and listen to what they have to say.
Deaths from coronavirus are setting records across the United States. The new reality seems to be overloaded hospitals and morgues, tents set up in Central Park, and shortages of food and medicine. But that's just part of the new reality. Workers are losing their jobs. 10 million are newly unemployed. The Red Cross is now warning about a potential social bomb.
In a few weeks, we will experience here in the Western countries, we have a lot of people who is living very marginalized. Let me use a word in the so-called black hole of the society. In a few weeks, we will have social problems. This is a social bomb that can explode in every moment.
The economy has been seriously wounded here, and that means the expectations and psychology of both consumers and businesses. This is not going to turn around very quickly. People are going to save. They're going to pay down debt. They're not going to spend all this. Businesses are not going to turn around and hire everybody back. You know, in crises like this, they find ways to run, even more efficiently, and they won't call people back. They did, and a lot of small businesses won't be there to call people back. And it's going to drag on for quite some time, I believe.
As a result, the American public is now in a scramble to buy guns. Searches for ammo are now top online.
This is only the second time in my 61 years of business that we've seen anything like this. We are experiencing a massive rush to buy guns and ammunition as people feel the need to protect themselves and their families.
And their fears are not entirely unfounded. Five were just busted in Santa Cruz for breaking into stores that were closed by COVID-19 regulations. This while the National Guard has been deployed in all 50 states. The situation with coronavirus is already grim, but people fear at this point the worst could be yet to come.
Well, you know, the police services and security services are firefighters and everything are really stressed out with this. They're focusing a lot of their attention on, correctly on the health problems of this and aspects of this. And, that kind of gives an opening to people to take advantage of it. Not just street crime, but, what about white collar crime? You know, what about the businesses that will scam these slush funds that are being provided for corporations? They're going to find ways to take advantage of it. So let's not forget the white collar crime, not just the street crime, but both will be a problem, which is typical in periods of extreme stress like this.
So, you heard that. I'm glad you did hear that. See, they fear something coming. So I'm going to read something to you. I'm going to go to two chapters because it was something that he said at the end of that. But first I'm going to read something out of chapter 46, The Great Days, The Terrible Days of God. He talked about how people are arming themselves because they fear. forget how we are warned by prophecies for 100 years and for 1,000 years that an end must come to this world. The rulers of this world must be removed and the crown must be taken off and placed upon another head, and they will rule in justice and righteousness. The people of this world have now become so wicked and so fearful of the consequences of their own rule until the almost thoughtless vision is gone and fearfulness has taken hold of the people. Their head is going to and fro to the nations of the earth to find a way of peace between the heads of nations. A great time, a troublesome time, a terrible time. The hearts of the people all begin to weaken and to fail because of what is going on and what they see is coming. What do they see? They see something grim. So they're trying to arm themselves to do what? To protect their families. Why? Because they see rebellion and insurrection, war and civil strife as far as I can see. And guess who's going to be the number one target? Those who have benefited the system, from the system, and those who have maintained the system. They know this. That's why they have access to money to buy the firearms. That's why they have access to money to put their bunkers under the ground. That's why they have access to money to buy pallets and truckloads of food to hide, because they see an impending doom of their society. Black people don't have access to bunkers, most of them. Black people don't have access to the credit levels that they have. We don't have access to buy pallets and truckloads of food. This is from the same people who have benefited from the system, right? So they fear a terrible day coming upon them. So they're arming themselves. And as I always tell you, the American people is a microcosm of the American government, right? Look at the American government. Instead of apologizing sincerely and doing what is right after troubling the people of the world, the nations around the globe, instead of them saying, you know what, we owe you, let us try to work out a deal for us. We'll pull our troops back. We'll bring them home. We'll do this. We'll do that. And then we can be friends, and we can show you our true sincerity about this. Know what they do? They want to invest what little money that they've stolen into more arms to threaten more people, to try to maintain their rule. Look at what's going on around America. It's a microcosm of the great America itself. The people, instead of them going to the communities that they have siphoned the wealth out of, the communities that they have exploited, they use the money and the wealth that they have exploited from the communities to arm themselves to the T and then buy more stuff and promote a greater divide between the people so that they can try to protect stuff instead of lives. They want to protect their stuff instead of the lives of the masses. This is a microcosm of the government of America, right? The government didn't come out of nowhere, did it? It came out of the thoughts, the dreams, the hopes, and the aspirations of the people whom it was to govern. Right? So let's go a little further. Brothers and sisters, you have to bear with me. I'm sucking on lemon and stuff, and I'm drinking this Gatorade, but my throat is on fire. But we're going to persevere. So the man, after talking, he says, the worst is still yet to come. After talking about a depression, I'm going to read something, because there's a chapter in here called The Worst is Yet to Come. But before I read that chapter, I want to bring something to the forefront, okay? I'm going to show you just how easy it is to obtain this information, because some of you lazy. You'll go for anything except for something that will benefit you. So I just put in, these are the key words I put in. What's the difference in a recession and depression? That's what I put in. Because I know the difference, but I want you to put in keywords and look for yourself. There are many different explanations, but the top one that came up, right, is this right here. A recession is widespread economic decline that lasts for at least 6 months. A depression is a more severe decline that lasts for several years. For example, a recession lasts for 18 months, while the most recent depression lasted for a decade. Now, stop right there. Now, let's see, because they use the recession word, and they hate to use the depression word. So we have a definition to see if we are in a recession or a depression. Because if we were in a recession, that means it would be a short economic decline for up to and not going past 18 months, right? Now, I'm not the sharpest knife in the drawer, but I'm not the butter knife. So if they talk about the 2002 episode that took place, and they talk about the great collapse that was underway in 2008. Now, I'm not the greatest mathematician, but 2002 and 2008 up to today is not 18 months, is it? Right? So if we say we're in 2020 and we backtrack 10 years, we'd be in 2010, right? Or 2011 or whatever you want to say, since this year is not completely outward. Now, if we backtrack some more, we're almost into another decade, right, of steep economic decline. And not only economic decline, but currency decline. Is that not right? So we can no longer use the word recession if we want to be factual and truthful, because a recession, according to their definition, lasts up to and not beyond 18 months. But a depression lasts for decades. Is that not right? I mean, I just Googled it while the guy was talking. Something's on my mind. Just say Google it so that you can prove a point to the people. See, the sleight of hand. Instead of them telling you the truth about the economic situation, they're going to lie to you. Wait, I thought the Savior has arrived real quick before I go into Fall of America. Excuse me. See, things, they come to me, and I just have to go with them when they come to me, brothers and sisters. Give me a chance. All right? All right, here we are. I found the book. I think it's on page 11. Yeah, page 11. The Hidden Truth, chapter 4. Chapter 4, page 11. Let's go to this. So they're telling you we're in a recession, or we're nearing a recession. That is so far from the truth according to their own definition of what a recession and a depression is. Is that not right? So listen to what Elijah Muhammad says. The white race was made by nature without truth. Jesus said in the Bible, John 8:44, that there was no truth in them, for their father was a liar and a murderer. Therefore, his children, the white race, cannot be otherwise. We should know the truth of the seriousness of the time that we are now living in. The truth will save our lives if we believe it. See, if you believe that you're in a recession or you're near in a recession, you're already out of the park, because you're not understanding the time and what is actually happening in this true time, okay? There's nothing that can be taught more important than the time and the calculation of time, because you must move. See, to measure time, you go from motion to motion. And that's why I went backwards, to show you the time in the depression and the recession from 2020 back. To show you, because we were measuring time, to show you the seriousness of what is being said and the true event of what is now taking place. Okay? Muhammad says, we should know the truth of the seriousness of the time that we are now living in. The truth will save our lives if we believe it. America is at war with the darker people. Brown, yellow, and every race regardless of color today, but she refuses to tell you the truth of this war that is now taking many lives. Look at what she's doing. She's not attacking Europe, is she? Is she? But she has her troops attacking Africa, the Middle East, South and Central America, the Caribbean. And now she's trying to shoulder roll and fight in Asia again. These are the black, the brown, the red, and the yellow people. Right? She does it on the war of national security. Right? Man, this man is a liar, and he's a good one at that. That's why the book called him the arch deceiver. But listen, let's go further. America is at war with the darker people, brown, yellow, and every race regardless of color today. But she refuses to tell you the truth of this war that is now taking many lives. This is hiding the truth. What is she trying to get peace for in Afghanistan, in Syria, in Iraq, in Venezuela, right? In the former Soviet republics, in North Africa? What is she trying to get peace for? If these people's losses are as great as she, as the radio and the other news media state, the enemy would be on his knees begging for peace. It seems as it is now vice versa. This is hiding the truth. Allah has said to me, listen to this very closely. Allah has said to me that America will not admit the truth of her losses until we see it on our heels. So this is why they continue to say recession. We're about to enter a recession. Oh, there's a low probability, only a 20 or 30% chance that we enter into a recession. Hell, we've been past recession stage. Do you not see a bread line? Matter of fact, I'm going to have to skip this point. I was going in the fall of America because I want you to not see what's going on with the bread line around the world. And if they didn't offer food stamps, which over 60 million people are on, and including the bread line, this would be well over 50% of the population of America. Huh? Hunger would overtake them rapidly. I'm telling you, y'all got to start using your noggin. Let's go to something real quick. I'm just pulling up something. Listen to this. If you don't think this thing is something serious, it says, look, this is the headline by Michael Schneider. Food banks warn they will soon run out of food as economic suffering explodes all over America. That's the headline. That is the headline. Okay? Matter of fact, let's read a little bit before I go to the next clip. All right? What are hungry Americans going to do when the food banks don't have any more food for them? Over the past couple of weeks, we have witnessed the largest spike in unemployment in all of U.S. history. Stop right there. Within less than 3 days, the U.S. stock market had lost, what did they say, between $2 and $7 trillion in value. Between 6 and 10 million people are unemployed, right? We have a car bubble, a mortgage bubble, and all of these things that are about to explode. He says, over the past couple of weeks, we have witnessed the largest spike in unemployment, not in the 70s, not since the 80s, not since the 90s. What did he say? In all of U.S. history. Why? Because we're in a depression. I'm saying this for because we're in a depression. Now he says this. Since most of those workers did not have any sort of a cushion to fall back on, a lot of them have been forced to seek out emergency assistance for themselves and their families almost immediately. Of course, our national network of food banks was not built to handle this sort of a scenario. And as you will see below, many of them are already starting to run out of food. But if things are this bad at the very beginning of this economic downturn, what are things going to look like in a few months from now? Okay, let's go to this book that I often read to you. I reiterate this stuff to you out of this book, and it's called The Mother Plane. And I constantly go back to this article that was put in there called The End of the War. It's article number 3 by Elijah Muhammad, August 3rd, 1973. I did that for a reason, because I knew these articles like this was coming. That's why I continue to listen to me good. If you, when you read Elijah Muhammad and you say, oh, he said that in a chapter, two chapters before this, or he said this in that other book, when there's a line that is a constant line, he is giving more emphasis on something, just like I am, to watch out for something, because this will be a big, big sign, neon flashing light for what is to come. So that's why I continue to read from this article. Because I understood the time and what was coming. Listen to this. Let's go back. Let's read a little bit more of this, then I'm coming to this article. Then we'll try to get some clips in. And brothers and sisters, please, please have patience with your brother, okay? It says this. Of course, our national network of food banks was not built to handle this sort of a scenario. And as you will see below, many of them are already starting to run out of food. But if things are this bad at the very beginning of this new economic downturn, what are things going to look like in a few months from now? It is imperative. Listen to what he says. It is imperative for people to understand that we are now in uncharted territory. At this point, even the head of the IMF is warning that this new economic crisis will be way worse than that of the last recession. See, they hate to say depression, right? And then in here, it says, the coronavirus pandemic has created an economic crisis like no other. No, it didn't. No, it didn't. See, that's the sleight of hand, what I was telling y'all about on the last show. They're using this to distract you from what was actually taking place. Every time the markets are about to implode completely, and every time America's debt is getting ready to be called, something comes out of the woodwork. If it wasn't the coronavirus, it could have been something else. They tried it with the swine flu. It didn't work. They tried it with Ebola virus. It didn't work. So they came down with the, what? Coronavirus. Because they knew nobody would believe another 9/11 this soon. Okay? Because they tried that too with the false flag accidents that were happening on the bases and around the world. So they had to come up with something that would spike the people's interest, put fear, stoke fear in the people's hearts, and cause them to spend what little money they had to try to preserve their family's security, okay, to help the economy just a little bit and to get a little leeway from the nations around the world so they didn't call in this tremendous unpayable debt that the American empire has now accumulated. So it says the corona pandemic has created an economic crisis like no other. But if we look at what Peter Schiff says, what Jim Rogers says, what a host of others said, this was just a distraction. It's just a distraction. One that is way worse than the 2008 global financial crisis. So this is way worse than the 2008 global financial crisis, the International Monetary Fund's top official said Friday. Never in the history of the IMF have we witnessed the world economy come to a standstill. Kristalina Georgieva, managing director of the IMF, said at the news conference. And of course, we are already seeing economic numbers in the United States that absolutely blow away anything that we witnessed back in 2008 and 2009. I don't know that any of us ever anticipated seeing a single week when 6.6 million Americans would file new claims for unemployment benefits. As this coronavirus shutdown continues all over the nation, the economic numbers will continue to be nightmarish for the foreseeable future. In fact, what Morgan Stanley is projecting for the second quarter is nothing short of terrifying. What did the Almighty Mama say? I say, matter of fact, let's go to it, okay? What did he talk about? He said it was terrible, terrifying, terrific. Where were we at? He says, the head is going to and fro to the nations of the earth to find a way of peace between the heads of the nations. A great time, a troublesome time, a terrible time. The hearts of the people all begin to weaken and to fail because of what they see is going on and what they see is coming. What do you say? In fact, Morgan Stanley is projecting for the second quarter is nothing short of terrifying. Following Friday's report, Ellen Zentner, chief U.S. economist at the New York-based investment bank Morgan Stanley, lowered her growth forecast for second quarter gross domestic product to 38% on an annualized basis. She says the U.S. economy will lose 21 million jobs, running the unemployment rate up to, and we already know it's going to be up past 40, 50, 60%, but they say up to 15.7%, a level not seen since what? Not the Great Recession, but what? The Great Depression. So how in the hell are all the numbers worse than the Great Depression, but we about to enter a recession? I'm asking you all this, son. Huh? I'm not the sharpest knife in hand up. I didn't see because I'm looking at different screens. I have 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 11 screens up. I'm gonna get to you, brother. Brothers and sisters, I got to get this stuff down. Would you allow your brother to go over a little bit if necessary? Because we may not get a live show Saturday. We may or we may not, okay? It's according to how they allow it. I'm thinking of setting up a live show Saturday and Sunday if they allow it. If they don't, I might have to put up a replay, but I'm thinking about it because the thing is so crucial, okay? So give your brother a little time, Brother Rashid. I'll have you on here in just a second. Now, of course, the people that are going to feel the most pain are those in the lowest rungs of the economic food chain. Well, who are the lowest rungs of the economic food chain? It's you, black man and black woman. It's you, just like I explained to you all before, right? So I'm going to stop right there for a minute, and I'm going to go to the end of the war. Because remember, what Morgan Stanley predicted was downright what? Terrifying, according to them. Now, in this, we're going to read this together. What can we expect at the end of the war? Paradise or hell? See Bible, Daniel, chapter 9, verse 26 and 27. And at the end of the war, desolations are determined. And that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. This is like saying, do not expect healing ointment to be poured on the sore that has been made. You will not get healing ointment. Instead, you will get a worse sore. With trying to find a job for the unemployed soldiers who are returning from the war zone if they have a chance to return. This will be one of the worst headaches for the American government that she has ever received. With unemployment mounting so fast, how fast? Some predicting 15%, some predicting 21%, some predicting 31%, some predicting 40-some percent of unemployment. They don't know. With unemployment mounting so fast, it will create revolution. Therefore, you see the people getting the guns, right? Now go back to the clip I played. See how I'm connecting the dots? You go back to the clip. The people want to protect their family. How? Why? Because they see something terrifying coming. With unemployment mounting so fast, it will create revolution. And everybody will want to divide the government up into pieces, and every leader will want to grab a piece for his part to try to muster some kind of government pattern after his own way of thinking. Desolation. And then he comes with the word desolation. Isn't that something? Definition of desolation. All right? Desolation. And I know it's going to be desolate because they usually put the word desolate in it. So it got desolation. Now, he says, a state of complete emptiness or destruction. Barrenness, bleakness, starkness, dismalness, misery, sadness, unhappiness, melancholy, gloom, gloominess. Right? That is desolation. Muhammad says desolation. If we are going to suffer deprivation in a country that has been the pride of the nations, this will make it altogether worse. That's why they're so mad, because they were said that exceptional nation. That city that sitteth upon the hill that no man was able to take, right? This will make it altogether worse. For everybody will be thinking about the way that they used to live and the freedoms and the privileges that they used to have. What are they saying? You go to all these alternative websites. They're saying that we're becoming more fascist. We're becoming this. Our freedoms are gone. Our this is gone. I'll never give up my gun, right? That's what they're saying, right? Right? Talk back to me. It says, this will make it altogether worse, for everybody will be thinking about the way that they used to live and the freedom that and the privileges that they used to have, and this will make anger rise up in the midst. What I'm trying to show you is that the prophet Daniel cannot be wrong, because this desolation, what desolation? A state of complete emptiness or destruction, barrenness, bleakness, darkness, dismalness, misery, sadness, unhappiness, melancholy, gloom, gloominess, is that determined to be poured upon the most desolate. It's aimed at the place in which we now live. And just remember, just in case you forgot, that you cannot expect paradise when such conditions of desolation is headed toward America. And since we cannot make prophets' words other than the truth, we expect this desolation, and we are receiving this desolation now. Stop right there. So we're in the midst of desolation. The white man called it worse than the Great Depression. He says, it's terrifying. Is that not right? Oh, brothers and sisters, it's a beautiful time to be a follower of the most honorable Elijah Muhammad. I'm going to bring Brother Rashid in just a second. Let me get a sip of this because my voice is like, it's conking out. But give me a second. Now let me go to the lines real quick and bring our good brother, Brother Rashid in. I say unto you, my good brother, As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum salam.
Yes, sir. Go ahead, brother.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you very well. We all hear you. Go ahead, brother.
Brother, I thought Elijah Muhammad was wrong.
Hey, what he said to you? Brother, don't you believe that man met with God?
Don't you believe that man met with God? But I thought he was wrong. America would never go through these things. It's too powerful. One brother said that his wife, a hypocrite, said, Allah don't have a match big enough to burn America.
Yeah.
You can't say that right now, brother, can you?
You can't say that right now.
I mean, he is being brought down. What the message say? Little by degrees from which he perceives not. See, he didn't expect this thing to happen. And I can tell you this. Don't expect things to get better. Little by it gets worse. Worse. But it don't happen right at that moment, so everybody, forget about it. But it's just going to constantly get worse. And I believe that he's going to go to war this year. That horse called pestilence is riding around America. And when he rode up on it with death, and not only America, it's riding around the whole, this will bring down the world economy. And we're going to have Mad Max. Elijah Muhammad wasn't lying to you.
Yes, sir.
He's telling the truth. You took his warnings as a lie, and now you are the one that's going to be on the losing end. So it's like you say, the black man, is his head is so hard. But this guy's head is like granite. It's very hard to sink into him that his slave master is not what he thought he was going to be. But just a little virus that brought the white man's world down to almost a screeching halt. But Allah cannot do that now. Let the hypocrites go. But it's beautiful to see it coming down. And I advise all of you brothers out there to get stored up with food, brothers and sisters. Get you some food. And don't sit around and don't be like no grasshopper now. You know, cats sit around eating and having a life of Riley in summertime. Then when winter comes around, he's dead because he ain't built a house for the winter.
Mm-hmm.
Be like the ant. What the scripture say? Consider the ant and be wise. The ant is always, he's building always. All year long, he's building up for the lean time. So when it gets real cold, he can sit in there in his house and eat while the grasshopper's out there in the freezing cold and die. Don't be like that guy. Don't be like
that
guy.
And speak on that level. That's why a lot of them going to lose their lives because they're not paying attention to what's going on. And then they're going to try to take the resources of those who have made preparations for this, and they'll wind up losing their lives in situations like that.
What the old scripture say? A hint to the wise is sufficient.
That's right.
A little hint of what's coming. You know, no tissue paper around. It's very hard to get tissue paper or napkins or anything. Get this little thing. And 2021... It's going to be worse than 2020.
Yeah, it's going to get worse this year, too. But, you know, it's funny you brought that up because when this tissue thing and these supply things became scarce, my mom was like, she was telling people, oh, I don't have to worry about him because he had already prepared. He had so much stuff, you know, put up and this and that. Now, let me tell you all something, too, brothers and sisters. Brother Rashid said something that I often mention on the show. That when this thing goes down, it will be like Mad Max. We're trying to tell you this. So things will be scarce. Get you food, get you things, that you, medicine or whatever you might need, and store this stuff up. But also just to tie your camel, get you things that you don't use as a bartering tool, also things that are out of the norm. Because, listen to me good, these things will be very – very scarce around. I was looking, and Brother Rashid, I'm going to let you come in on this, but I was looking at this new commercial that comes out about Publix. You guys have a Publix there in California?
What is it?
Grocery store. It's
no,
almost like Costco's or something like that. But well, we got a Publix, and so the commercial on there, there's not much talking on there, and it's just words on there, and it shows the people stocking the stores and stuff, and it's saying, only buy what you need, so that your neighbors can buy what they need. Don't rush to it. We are stocking the store, so we have all the supplies necessary. Now, common sense tells you if you needed to put that up there, you're trying to reassure people because you don't have that. Why would you tell them your business is to make money? So if it was just one person to buy the store, you should not care if you had all the supplies that you said you have. But most people don't think like that. They're thinking that, oh, everything is going to return to normal. They believe the lies that these people continue, no matter how many times this white man fools them, the 32nd trick, they fall for it. The 48th trick, the 49th, and then the white man put in the 50th, they fall for it. They've got to put those brain cells into action, brother.
Yeah, well, brother, the poor black man is a potential sucker. What did Donovan Beatty say? Is a sucker born every minute? And he's really talking about the Negro because he's been a sucker for hundreds of years. but as the brother said, get barter. You know, you can get gold and silver, but if you ain't got no food, gold and silver ain't worth two cents.
Ain't gonna be nothing. Yes, sir.
See, I mean, I know it's hard for people to see us joyful and seeing the happiness in our voice and stuff, but we've been waiting for this for 50, 60 years. And now it's here. All of the people who hate it. I had my mother's cousin, carry me when I was a little boy. I mean, a baby. And this guy found out I was with Elijah Muhammad. He was so hateful of the message, he couldn't stay in the same room with him. And what makes it so bad is the message was for him. This cat was extremely dark. Black as the ace of spades, as they say it. And Elijah Muhammad that much because Elijah Muhammad was for you. Elijah Muhammad tell you, I'm going to take your slave master and we're going to kill him. And you Negro holler out, no, Dad, I won't boss to live. Well, what boss ever done to you? Well, he's with me for 465 years and ain't gave you not one thing. It's ridiculous, brother. It is ridiculous the way the Negro acts. You should be like the man you said. I know you may hate me now, but I know a day coming soon when you gonna love me.
Yeah.
There's a brother that put a article in the Muhammad Sadiq's newspaper called My Vision. And brother, and the man say the same things that Allah in that brother's vision is what Allah told him would happen at the end of time. Brother, let me go.
Well, alaykum salam, my good brother. Good teaching, brother. Good teaching.
Yeah.
Now, I know we're running out of time, but I want to say one of my favorite quotes from the messenger is this. He often says, you may say, to hell with Elijah Muhammad, but I know the time will come when you're going to soon say to heaven with Elijah Muhammad. Because of the situation now unfolded and the impending implosion of the American government, its economy, and the world order that is dominated by America, you're going to soon see the truth of everything we're saying. We want you to wake up right now. But some of you, you know, you're from Missouri. You're from the show me state. And so it's going to take much more than us playing the clips and connecting the dots. It's going to take you to suffer for it to touch your lives in such a way that you can't turn left or right. You're going to have to look straight ahead at the problems that now you and your family will have to face. Now, look, my voice is really going out. Because I didn't get to the clips that I really wanted to play. And I really wanted to, I got some clips, I edited a couple clips that I really need for y'all to listen to. If they allow me Saturday, I will do it. And we'll have a part two of this. If not, we will try Sunday or we'll try Tuesday, okay?